Nights tuned to yesterday, featuring programs from the golden age of radio. Welcome, I'm your host, Mark Lebonier. Coming up in this hour, Adventure. Later on, a story from the Let's Pretend series from 1946. But first, it's I Love Adventure. This tale called The Quan Moon Dagger, heard on ABC on June 27th, 1948.
This program is transcribed from an earlier network broadcast.
The American Broadcasting Company presents I Love Adventure. Incident number 10, The Quang Moon Dagger, a new Carlton E. Morse production featuring Jack, Doc, and Reggie. It's late afternoon of a lazy day in the offices of the A1 Detective Agency just off Hollywood Boulevard. Doc Long is casting a rather disgruntled glance in the direction of Jack Packard, who is slumped back in his chair with his feet atop the badly scarred desk.
Jack, you realize ain't nothing been stirring for 3 whole days now?
Something will come along.
Well, man, needs a little excitement once in a while.
Why not rent an alligator from one of the movie studios? You could wrestle with it.
Maybe you got yourself an idea, son. It might... Uh-oh. Did you see what just walked in?
Yeah. 5 of them.
And all of them fair size, too.
Fair size, the man says. 8 to 5, they average 7 feet in height apiece.
Oh, well, please remain seated right where you are, gentlemen. Yes.
What's the pitch, friend?
We wish to search your office, Mr. Packard.
You will oblige by remaining quite still. Yes.
No, pal, we haven't time. A previous engagement.
Yeah, with an alligator.
I regret, gentlemen. You will go nowhere.
If you think you hombres can come in
all
here
right,
and start...
take it easy, Doc.
Well...
The gun that just popped out of his sleeve says he can.
Whoa. And all 5 of these Hong Kong sports seem to have.
So, gentlemen, with your permission, we will search the office. Chotong or the dying...
The door to the right hides a wash basin. The one to the left leads into a closet. You'll find 2 broken golf clubs and 5 years accumulation of dust.
It is well, gentlemen. My men report there are no enemies concealed on the premises.
Well, you've no idea what a load that takes off our minds. Now what gives, friend?
You'll prepare yourselves to be honored by the presence of the mighty one. Make obeisance, please. Though the flower of the 7 heavens, the ruler of the temple of Quang Moon, Princess Myling.
Well, smack me pink and call me baby.
Please pardon the ear with which my servant, Qin Lu, guards person of his princess. For 100 generations, his family has watched over well-being of royal ones of Akau Bang.
Well, that's a job I wouldn't mind undertaking myself.
Take it easy, Doc.
Do not mind, Mr. Packard. The flattery of your friend, Mr. Long, quite pleasing. Oh, you are wondering why I have come here, eh?
Well, that don't matter. If you'd care to sit down over here next to me, Princess...
Suppose we let the princess have her say, Doctor.
You are right, Mr. Packard. My business here is of utmost urgency. I wish to engage your service to recover for me Quang Moon Dagger.
Quang Moon Dagger?
Oh, you have heard of it?
Not never. How about you, Jack?
This Kao Bang is a small independent kingdom lying in the jungles between Cochin, China, and Yunnan. Quang Moon is the god worship there, huh? I'd say somebody made off with a dagger belonging in his temple.
You are exactly right, Mr. Packard. 2 months ago, certain person visit our village. When he depart, dagger depart with him.
Well, why would he want an oriental pig stick?
Oh, blade of dagger of Quang Moon is solid gold, Mr. Long. The hilt is encrusted with most perfect of emeralds, rupees, and diamonds.
Well, ain't no wonder you folks are doing a slow burn.
More important is the fact that my people fear that Quang Moon angry with them. Our crops have been blighted. Disease and famine threaten entire nations.
This will all be corrected the minute the dagger is back in the temple, of course.
So my people believe. That is why I follow man responsible to United States. But this country is very unfamiliar to me and my bodyguard, Sin Lu. We need assistance of men we can trust. Who know its customs and habits?
Well, you come to the right spot, Prince. Is that right, Jack?
Yeah. You will be rewarded, of course. Upon the hilt of dagger is Quang Moon Ruby. A most perfect gem of its kind in all world. You return dagger to me, and the ruby is yours.
What's the name of the character who took the dagger?
He was known to us as Paul Cavagnari.
And you've traced him to the United States?
Oh, yes. Even more definite than that. To Chicago.
Oh, and when did he say, huh? Any address there?
We found the envelope among his effects. It was addressed to him on a street known as Wentworth. Here is address.
Well, that should help. Anything else?
Only one little thing. Dagger was seen yesterday by one of our countrymen in Chicago.
Well, now you really bring us up to date. Where was it at?
Falling from small bridge into Lincoln Park Lagoon.
Falling into the lagoon? How come? Was it thrown in?
Oh, no, Mr. Packard. He was buried between shoulders of Paul Cavagnari.
Some looker at Prince's, huh, Jack? And that perfume she wore, oh, it does things to a feller.
Yeah, maybe that's why we're in something a little deeper than we figured, Doc.
What's that supposed to mean?
A report from Chicago said that somebody slipped Paul Cavagnari a Diger Mickey and dumped his body into the Lincoln Park Lagoon.
Sure, but the police closed in before her buddies could recover it. What's wrong with that?
Nothing. Only while you were getting our plane tickets, I called Chicago Homicide. No corpse by the name of Cavagnari has turned up, and nobody reported a stabbing in Lincoln Park.
Well, Jack, if there's such a strong suspicion of double cross about this case, why we're taking it off?
I don't know. Maybe curiosity. Maybe to keep you from having to wrestle alligators. Or maybe that perfume got me, too.
You know something, Jack? Darn colorful street, this Wentworth Avenue.
Yeah. Tourist eye view of Chicago's Chinatown.
What you reckon that Cavagnari hombre was doing in this part of town?
Well, we'll know pretty quick. Here's the address now.
Yeah, gents?
Here, keep the change.
Thanks, pal.
Uh-oh. Jack, this can't be the right place.
It's the address the princess gave it.
But take a gander at that neon sign. Blue Celestial Mortuary. It's a high-class burying parlor. That Cavagnari feller can't have lived there.
Only one way to find out. Let's go in.
Little depressing, ain't it?
What'd you expect, dancing girls?
No, but they'd help.
Good evening, gentlemen. Is there some service we of the Blue Celestial Mortuary may perform for you?
Well, we hope so. We're looking for a Mr. Paul Cavagnari.
Mr. Cavagnari. Of course, gentlemen. This way, gentlemen.
And he does hang out here. Now, if we can get him to crack about that dagger...
Don't worry about that when we meet him.
Here you are, gentlemen. Mr. Cavagnari.
Thanks.
Hey.
If I do say so myself, the Blue Celestial Mortuary has done a magnificent job. One would swear he was still alive.
Wouldn't they, though?
Oh, poor Paul. Last place I wanted to see him was in a coffin.
Yes, a sad case. Very sad. Cut down in the bloom of manhood.
Well, accidents can happen to anybody.
Accident?
Well, of course, accident. You don't think Paul just deliberately jumped off that bridge in the lagoon, do you?
Bridge? Lagoon? Someone must have misinformed you, sir. Mr. Cavagnari died of natural causes. A heart attack.
You sure of that?
Certainly. We have a copy of the death certificate.
You remember who signed it?
Why, a Dr. Jansen or Jenkins. Something like that.
Well, would you mind getting it for us? It would relieve our minds so much to see it. You know how kin folks is.
Why, I'd be happy to, sir. It will only take a moment. I'll be right back.
How about that?
The whole darn thing don't make no sense, son. You don't reckon somebody's pulling our leg, do you?
I'll buy that, but who and why?
You've got me. Did Cavalieri get dunked into the lagoon or not? And what about that Quang Moon dagger in the back business?
Well, that's one thing we can settle right now.
But, Jack, the death certificate, you heard him.
Nobody can forge a stab wound, Doc.
Oh, you mean have a look for herself?
What else?
Well, it's darn distasteful, but it's got to be done on me, boy.
Then let's go to it. Our mortician friend will be back any minute.
Jack, that was a .45.
Come on, run.
Yeah. Which way?
There's the office at the end of the corridor.
Somebody's starting to play kind of rough around here.
Yeah, he's dead, all right.
But who done it? Don't look like there's nobody around.
The open window explains that. Come on, let's get back to the chapel. I want to talk to that organist.
Think he might be in on to know about all this?
I don't know, but he's the only one left still alive around here. There's the chapel. We'll hit the organ loft first and... Uh-oh.
Yeah, we kind of late. Our little bird seems to have flowed his musical coup.
It's not the only one. Take a look at the coffin.
At the Jack, a corpse is gone.
Yeah, our pal Carbonari won't stay put, apparently. There it is, Doc. The Hung Shu Mu, the Red Tree Flower Shop.
But I don't see what we're doing going to a flower shop, son.
Somebody sent a carload of flowers to Cobham Yard from this place. If we can learn who it was, we may have a lead on what to do next. Come on, let's go in.
Good evening, gentlemen. Is there something I could do for you?
Yeah, it could be. You delivered a load of flowers to the Blue Celestial Mortuary recently, didn't you?
Yes, that's right. Did you wish to order some similar ones?
Well, it depends on how cooperative you can be.
We pride ourselves on our service, sir. I'm sure we can supply you with whatever you wish.
Mm-hmm. Well, then try this for size. Who sent those other flowers?
I'm sorry, sir. I am not at liberty to say.
Now, look, Hangtown Fry, you ain't no doctor nor lawyer. Ain't no professional secrets in your business.
If a client of yours wished to remain anonymous, would you disclose the identity, Miss Along?
Uh-oh. Hey, Jack, my fame must be spread. Doggone Fu Manchu, how'd you know my name?
I was told to expect your arrival.
Who is your interested informer?
And if you say Paul Carbonari, I ain't gonna believe it.
No, it was the person whose identity you seek.
Hey, what'll it take to make you come across as something besides double talk?
Nothing, Miss Apaka. And a message was left for you at the same time.
Okay, let's have it.
The northwest corner of Wentworth and Fowler.
Come again, sport.
The northwest corner of Wentworth and Fowler.
What's that supposed to mean?
I'm afraid I do not know. However, the corner is only a few yards from the shop. Why not investigate and see?
Jack, this kid may be making sense of that.
Yeah, maybe. Come on, Doc. Thanks for your trouble.
Do not mention it, Mr. Pocket. We like to build up goodwill for future business.
Oh, man.
And do not forget, gentlemen, we specialize in funerals. Good night.
That hombre gives a good deal more than he takes.
I mean, he knows a good deal more than he says.
Well, that seems to be a fact about everybody in this case, with the exception of us.
Well, there's the sign. Wentworth and Fowler, and this is the northwest corner. Now what?
Well, don't seem to be nothing interesting here. Just a vacant lot with some signboards around it.
That message meant something. Hey, Doc, that car.
Jack, that fellow leaning out the window. He's got...
Down, Doc, get out!
Hey, Doc. Doc, you all right?
What you mean, am I all right? I landed on my doggone crazy bone and spoiled my aim. Must have missed them gunmen on Mars.
Yeah, I didn't do so well myself. Well, we know what that message meant now.
Yeah, some message. Hey, did you get a look at that polecat that was shooting that Tommy gun?
Yeah.
Something mighty familiar about him, wasn't it?
It should be. He was Princess Mai Ling's bodyguard, Chin Lu. Back to the flower shop, quick.
Yeah, man. Yeah. Flower man don't seem to be around.
Maybe in that back room. Let's hit it.
Come on. I'm right eager to exchange a few words with that son of Satan, punctuated with a right cross or two.
Well, leave him enough left to talk about that message, Doc.
Yeah. Well, don't seem to be in here neither. Now, where are you supposed to...
Hey, hold it now. The door to the refrigerator room's open. Somebody's in there.
Refrigerator room? Oh, for the flowers. Hey, hold it, fella. I can see a shadow in the looking glass.
He hasn't heard us yet. Must be almost soundproof in there.
Well, why deprive him of our company?
Just what I was thinking. Come on.
Yeah. Yank that door open and surprise him, son. He got it coming after the little party we just had.
Check. Okay, here we go. All right, pal. How about...
Look out, Doc. Catch him. Yeah.
Oh, too late.
How about that?
So it wasn't the florist leaning against that door. It was our missing pal, Paul Cavaliere.
Yeah.
Now, what was he doing in here, you reckon?
Take a look at his clothes.
Why, they half tore off of him.
Which means that whoever hijacked him from the mortuary put him in here to give him a good frisking. And incidentally, he wasn't killed by the Quang Moon dagger.
Yes, so I see him. Punctures in his chest. Looks like he's made by .38 caliber. What'd you pick up there, son?
Ticket or something. Punched by a timestamp. Here, take a look.
Boat concession, Lincoln Park Lagoon, time out 5:17, time in 5:29. What in thunder do you suppose that means?
Looks like he took a rowboat ride on the lagoon sometime before he died.
Couldn't have liked it very much. He was only out 12 minutes.
Hey, Doc, I got a hunch. Let's get out of here.
Oh,
and...
not bother to turn around, Mr. Parker.
Well, well, so Carbonari had company in the refrigerator room.
You've been crouched down among them flowers all the time?
Keep facing the wall and do not offer any resistance as my men disarm and bind you. Those are gun barrels you feel pressing against your spines.
Well, I'll take your word for it, but is there any particular reason for the pistol massage? And who are you?
I am Dr. Jen King.
How about that? I knew there was someone else we should have checked on.
You will have your chance now. You and I are going to have a talk. A long overdue talk about Paul Cavaliere and the Quang Moon dagger. I trust you are quite comfortable here in my quarters, Mr. Packard.
I'll do. Where's Doc?
He is being held in the next room. But do not be concerned. No harm will come to either of you as long as cooperation is the keynote of this little meeting.
Okay, cooperation it is. You begin. What's your business with us?
I am Dr. Jen Kin, Mr. Packard, head of a large hospital in Hanoi, French Indochina.
Haven't you got your professions mixed up a little? That was a gun I saw in your hand, not a scalpel.
There are times, Mr. Packard, when it is necessary for a man of medicine to take up arms in defense of his profession.
That pitch was a little wide, Doctor. Come again.
Very well. 2 months ago, my hospital was robbed of over $1 million worth of radium. I suspected a man I had known casually in Hanoi by the name of Paul Cavaliere.
Seems to me I've heard this somewhere before. You trailed him to the States, learned he was in Chicago.
Yes, Mr. Packard. But I could not locate him here. I was about to give up the search 2 days ago when I received a phone call from him.
Uh-huh. 8 to 5, he was giving you a chance to buy your radium back.
Precisely. At a price considerably lower than I would have to pay to replace it on the open market. However, he also mentioned the possibility of my having to buy the Quang Moon dagger. I agreed to discuss the proposition with him and went to meet him. The place he had chosen was a most unusual one.
I can take the ball from here, Doctor. The place was the Lincoln Park Lagoon.
Yes.
Cavaliere was dead when you got there.
That is correct.
And there was no radium.
There was no radium.
And so you had him picked up by the Blue Celestial Mortuary, signed a fake death certificate, and left him lying in state to see who might show up.
I still had hopes of recovering that radium, Mr. Packard. And it occurred to me that if the people who had killed him for it found no mention of his murder in the paper, they might wonder why. Might be driven by guilt and fear to learn what had happened to him.
Pretty long shot, Doctor.
It paid off, Mr. Packard. You and Mr. Long visited the mortuary.
Yeah. Who was your stool pigeon there? The organist?
Oh, that is quite correct. Unfortunately, he ran out to try to intercept the mortician's murderer and did not see you remove the body. However, he did trail you to the florist shop, where he learned your identity and got in touch with me by telephone. So, And now, Mr. Packard, it is your turn to cooperate.
Okay, I'll get your radium for you.
As I thought. You do have it.
Nope, but neither do the lads who bumped off Cavagnari.
How do you know that?
Because he didn't it. That's why they came back to snatch his body. They hadn't been able to find the stuff and were looking for something to tip them off as to where it was.
And do you know where it is, Mr. Packard?
No, but I can find it and get the Quang Moon dagger for myself if you release us right away. If not, it'll be too late. It's your last chance, Doctor.
You are presuming rather heavily upon my gullibility, are you not?
I'm presuming you're a doctor, that you realize what that radium means to your patients.
Yes. Yes, thousands of my countrymen now doomed to die, who will live if I bring it back to Hanoi with me. Very well, Mr. Packard. You shall be released at once.
But, Jack, you believe this Jin Kin feller story?
Makes sense, Doc.
Well, I sure am happy to know that, son. I wouldn't ever guess.
You won't have to guess much longer.
You mean there's some action coming up?
Well, there should be a little excitement.
Well, where and when?
In about 10 minutes, near the boathouse, on the Lincoln Park Lagoon. Take the rowboat on the end, Doc.
You mean we going rowing at this time of night?
Why not? Cavagnari went somewhere. It took him 12 minutes to get there and back.
But where could a feller go in this overgrown wading pool? And that... Oh, that little wooded island at the upper end. Is that the spot you mean?
I don't know, Doc. But we're going to row over there and find out.
Look, Jack. If this is the action you promised me, let's take a crack at guessing again.
Don't give up the ship. We're almost there.
Yeah.
And I got a hunch you'll have enough action in the next few minutes to... See what I mean? Hey, over the side, Doc. Wait.
Jack, the
water's awful darn cold from a Saturday night tub.
He's trying to make it hot enough for us.
Well, the boat's a pretty good shield. Shall we kind of ease it islandward, maybe, huh?
Yeah, that's a general idea. Yeah. Let's go. We're nearly there. When we touch bottom, make a dash for it.
Yeah.
Hit the deck at the first cover we come to.
You bet you. Shades of Omaha Beach on D-Day.
Okay, Doc, let's go.
You still okay, son?
Yeah, no complaints. What about you?
These here bramble thickets ain't my idea of a feather bed. Otherwise, I'm just fine.
Good.
Wonder what's happened to our bloodthirsty gun.
Probably got a spot moving in for the kill.
Let's make that our happy thought for the day. Ought to be some way to upset his plan. You got any ideas?
Yeah. Last time he fired was from behind that elm tree. I'm going to shove out for it.
But he ain't there now. If he's moving in on us, he... Oh, I get it. You'll draw as far so I can shoot at the muzzle flash.
Right. Keep your eyes open.
Just leave it to your Uncle Dudley. Good luck, son.
And there I go.
Hey, Jack. Hello, Jack, can you hear me? Jack, are you all right, fella?
Okay, Doc, come on. Everything's under control.
Well, say so then. How'd I make out with a firecracker, King?
You'll have a pretty sore shoulder for a very long time.
Hey, well, it's our old friend Chen Lu, so he was the one sniping at us.
Yeah, if you take a gander on the ground behind this tree, you'll see why.
Well, look at that there on the ground beside that hole.
Yeah, the Quang Moon dagger, right where Paul Cavagnari had hidden it.
You mean our job is done?
As soon as we get Chen Lu to a hospital and fly back to L.A., take a deep breath, Doc. The next one you take may be filled with Princess Mai Ling's perfume.
So, Mr. Packard, my own servant, Chin Lu, tried to obtain Quang Moon dagger behind my back?
That's the way it looks, all right.
Yeah, don't take it so hard, Francis. After all, we did bring the dagger back to Los Angeles with her.
You have done really much to make my people happy again. I do not know how to tell you how grateful I am. You have dagger?
Yeah, here in this drawer. You know, Princess, this dagger is not only ornamental, it's a pretty good weapon. Sharp point, keen steel blade. Yeah, I was a little surprised. I thought you said the blade was solid gold.
I did, Mr. Packard, but I had not seen dagger in recent years. My memory played tricks on me.
Played tricks about the gems on the hilt, too.
Oh, I had not forgotten your fee, Mr. Packard. The giant ruby will be yours?
Don't bother. There's not much of a market for paste these days.
Paste?
She acts surprised, yeah.
But I am surprised. I had no idea.
I suppose you didn't know that the hilt was hollow and that Paul Carbonari smuggled the stolen radium into this country inside it.
Stolen radium? What are you talking about, Mr. Packard?
Come off it, Princess. You, Carbonari, and Chin Lu were in on that robbery together. Only Carbonari tried to slip you the double cross and sell the stuff on the hot market in Chicago.
What is this fantastic story?
When you heard the Red Hots he tried to sell it to, double crossed him and bumped him off, you came to us, hoping we'd find out where he'd hidden the stuff.
But your number one boy, Chin Lu, got to Chicago ahead of us and hijacked Cavalieri's body to search it for clues that might have been missed. When he found that boat ride ticket and figured out what it meant, well, me and Jack was superfluous property.
That's why you baited that trap at the florist and tried to bump us off. After that, you came back to L.A. while Chin Lu tore out to the lagoon to pick up the loot. That's why you...
Okay, you dirty double-cross machine!
Look out, Jack!
You won't let the pin is on...
Let's have that sticker, baby!
I'll kill you, Packard! I'll kill you!
Drop it, baby, drop it! That's better. Doc, open the door.
With pleasure.
And now, Princess, you can make your exit.
I'll have your stinger hide for this. You won't get away with it, you rat! You won't...
Wow.
And my sentiments, exactly. What a hellcat to lovely damsel turn out to be.
Yeah, the stolen goods detail outside and take care of her. Well, Huang Moon Dagger. This is false a piece of guilt as Princess Mai Ling's soul.
Well, what kills my soul is that the beautiful ruby on the hilt is false, too. All that brain work and gun shooting and no pale.
Oh, I don't know. The hospital in Indochina will get its radium back as fast as Dr. Jen Kin can get it there. And when you think of some thousands of people who'll get another crack at life now...
Yeah, maybe you got something, Mercer. Oh, well, mark down another two-fisted experience in the tarred old files of the A1. By the way, let me have that telephone, will you, son?
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Thank you.
Who are you calling now?
RKM Studios, about an alligator.
Hey, wait a minute. You're not taking that gag seriously.
Why, of course I am. After the Princess Mai Ling, I ought to be able to throw one of them amphibious critters 2 out of 3 falls with a Quang Moon dagger tied behind my back.
I Love Adventure, on Tuned to Yesterday from June 27th, 1948 on ABC. It was a Sunday evening at 7 when that show was heard in New York over WJZ. Over on WOR, the Mystery Playhouse, on WCBS, the Gene Autry program, and in addition to religious programming on the air like WINS's Bible Hour or the Hour of St. Francis on WNEW, WNBC was hosting the Jack Benny Show with his rival Fred Allen as guest. This is an Hour of Adventure on Tuned to Yesterday. I'm your host, Mark Levonier. Now time for Let's Pretend with the story called The Yellow Dwarf, a CBS broadcast from July 27, 1946.
Dream of wheat is so good to eat as we have it every day. We sing this song, it will make us strong and it makes us shout, hooray! It's good for growing babies and grown-ups too to eat. For all the family's breakfast, you can't beat Cream of Wheat.
Cream of Wheat, the great American family cereal, presents Let's Pretend. Well, hello, audience. What's on your mind? If you want Let's Pretend, you shall have Let's Pretend. Gwen, what's today's story?
Oh, it's an exciting one, Uncle Bill, about an old meanie called the Yellow Dwarf.
The Yellow Dwarf, Real mean?
Oh, brother.
Well, that's mean. How do we travel?
Well, suppose we hear Betty Jane Tyler's suggestion.
Well, how about cooling off in a speedboat? All right, Betty Jane, a speedboat it is. One, two, three. Okay, head straight across the lake for Let's Pretend. Turn left at the water weed for the Yellow Dwarf. Let's go. Gosh, Uncle Bill, did you ever see such a perfect day for a speedboat ride? Not a single ripple on the whole lake. Why, it's just as smooth as a... Well, I was going to say smooth as glass, but I know you've got a better word than that, Uncle Bill.
You bet I have, Sybil, because super smoothness is my language, is pronounced cream of wheat. Yes, sir, that fat and smooth, creamy goodness of cream of wheat makes for the best doggone breakfast eating you've ever met up with. Or my name isn't Uncle Bill. You try it yourself as soon as you can. And you'll know why I always say, eat a better breakfast, feel better all day. Get a better start the cream of wheat way. And be sure to keep listening for our special cream of wheat game right after the first act of today's story, The Yellow Dwarf. Once upon a time in a land beyond the moon, the whole kingdom rejoiced at the beautiful love that existed between the gentle Princess Margot and her handsome Prince Anton. Time after time, they sought the Queen Mother's permission to marry, but she mysteriously begged them to postpone the marriage for one reason or another. While all the time she grew pale with anxiety and worry, she would not confide in anyone. Just now, we are in the underworld forest, where at the foot of a huge and twisted orange tree, if you listen, you will discover part of the cause of the Queen Mother's unhappiness.
My goodness, Lopia! Keep your guardians quiet! Why do you have so many lions?
To keep foolish mortals away from me. Quiet, Tony! Leo! Now, let's get to business, Yellow Dwarf. What do you want with the Queen of the Underworld?
Our plans must be completed, Lopia.
Oh, you mean about Princess Margot?
Exactly.
When I saved Margot's life as a child, the Queen Mother promised me then she'd never consent to her marriage without my permission. She dare not go back on her word. Little did I dream then that you would be the one to want her hand in marriage.
But I do, more than anything else in the world.
I've told you that Margot is deeply in love with Prince Anton.
I know that. That is why I want all the magic powers you possess to help me.
Well, I promised to work with you. What's the hurry?
Just this. My magic telescope informs me the Queen's Mother is about to come to you to ask your permission for Margot to marry Anton. This is our chance. We must work quickly.
Brave Queen to venture over the borderland of the underworld just to make her daughter happy. Does she know the magic formula for the cakes that pacify my lions here?
Shut them up!
Quiet!
Yes, she knows it. But much good it will do her. I want you to direct her path here to the foot of the orange tree. Then see that she falls asleep. From then on, I think I can manage. But be ready to let the lions loose when I give you this signal.
I understand, and will not fail you, Yellow Dwarf. Call me when you need me. I'll be in my cavern waiting. Leo! Tony! Come!
Dear, I must find them. How could have I lost them? This is the path I came along. Where can they be?
How do you know?
Oh.
What is the matter, Queen Mother?
How you startled me. Who are you and what are you doing here in the forest?
I am the Yellow Dwarf of the Woods, Your Majesty. I live in this large orange tree.
What makes you weep, my queen? I've lost the millet cakes that I must have in order to pass the two-headed lion.
What a pity. And how did that happen?
I was very tired. I lay down here under the orange tree to rest. I must have gone to sleep, but when I awoke, they disappeared. Oh, Yellow Dwarf, I must have them. I must get to the cabin of Lothia, the fairy in the wood.
I hear the lions now. They must be loose. Oh, my goodness. Sounds as if they were headed this way. Oh, they are. That's bad.
Help me, Dwarf. They'll devour me. Save me.
Yes, if you will make me a promise.
Anything, only save me.
If you will give me your daughter for my wife, you may come into my house and the lions can't get you.
Marry my beautiful daughter to you, you ugly little yellow thing. Never.
Very well, then. You'll enjoy being eaten alive. Here come the lions. No help from me.
Mercy, Dwarf, help me.
If you will give me your daughter.
Yes, yes, let me in. Yes, you may marry her. Only let me in.
All right, come in. Well, you got in just in time. The lions were clawing at the door.
Oh, horrible. What terrible beasts they are. You've saved me, but what have I promised? My lovely Margot. Oh, Yellow Dwarf, you didn't mean it. You wouldn't ask a princess to live here.
Not every princess, but Margot, yes. I've been in love with her for a long time. You promised, you know, and the queen's word is the law of the land. Don't be unhappy. It's really quite nice here. Open that door in the orange tree, the other one. There. You see, here is where she will live with me. That slimy pool in the yard is our drinking water.
Oh, how awful. What do you eat?
We live on toads and molded bread mostly. And I will always be my jolly handsome self. Oh, she will be very happy here with me.
But poor Margot. A princess living in a filthy hovel like this. Let the lions come in, Yellow Dwarf. Let them come in. Oh, I can't stand it. Oh, everything is going black. I think I'm staying here. Oh.
Oh, you are, my lady. Now is her promise to both Lokia and me. Let's see what our next move will be. All right, my queen, back you go to the castle on the wings of my scarlet bat to tell them the good news.
You sent for us, Mother? Oh, how do you do, Prime Minister?
Princess Margot?
Yes, Margot. Come in, Anton. Be seated quickly and hear what I have to say.
Beloved, sit here by me.
Yes, Anton. Brother, you're terribly pale. Is it bad news? Yes, my daughter, it is. I can conceal it no longer from you and Anton. Take my hand, Anton. Good news or bad, with you beside me, I can bear it. Margot, when you were a tiny baby, you became terribly ill. The court doctors could do nothing, so in fear and trembling, I went to Lokia, the fairy in the wood, to ask her help. She made me promise that if she healed you, I would never permit you to marry unless she gave her consent.
Is that the reason you've not allowed Anton and me to marry?
And only that. At first, I suspected nothing. At that time, she was known for her good deeds as well as her bad ones. When I saw the great love that Anton and you have for one another, I went to her to seek her consent.
Oh, madam, that is why you braved that journey to the underworld.
Yes, Minister. Little did I know then that she had joined forces with the horrible yellow dwarf of the woods.
Slimy, filthy creature.
Together they stole the magic millet seeds I had for the two-headed lions, then released them. In my terror, I begged the yellow dwarf to save me. He made me promise something. I didn't realize fully what I was saying until the door closed on the roaring two-headed beast. Then it came to me.
And the promise, Your Majesty?
That I would give Margot to him for his bride.
Margot?
Your Majesty.
Then it was too late. I hurled myself against the doors to get out, but the dwarf held me. Then I fainted. When I came to, I was here in my own suite. That's my story. Now, and this is why I've sent for you, Prime Minister, to advise us. I feel we have but one chance to defeat these two evil people. True love such as yours, Anton, and yours, Margot, cannot die. You may suffer, sacrifice, but it will survive. Here is my plan.
I suggest that you two be married immediately.
Well, that is why the bishop is waiting.
Yes, Minister. My hope is that once Anton and Margot are married, perhaps the spell will be broken. But it might not. And these two must know the full facts and face the dreadful things that may happen if it doesn't succeed.
I would risk anything in the world rather than lose my beloved.
Whatever evils lie ahead, none could terrify me more than never seeing Anton again.
Well spoken. Your Majesty, I think it's worth the chance.
Then there isn't a moment to lose. Prime Minister, ask the bishop to make ready. Margot and Anton be in the chapel in 10 minutes. Once you're married, we may be able to withstand their evil plans.
Thanks a lot, pretenders. And now back to today's story, The Yellow Dwarf. Aided by the wicked Lothia, queen of the underworld, the yellow dwarf tricked the queen mother into promising him her daughter Margot's hand in marriage. Then, realizing the tragedy that would result if Margot were to be separated from her true love, Anton, the queen mother holds a council. It is decided that the one chance they have to protect Margot is to arrange her marriage to Anton immediately. We find them now in the chapel as the hastily arranged wedding begins.
Stop this wedding! Stop this wedding, I say!
Lothia! Please come. I knew his heaven help us now.
Anton, what shall we do?
No, Queen Beatrice. Thought you'd cheat the yellow dwarf, did you? Thought you could break your promise to me, did you? Well, you can't. No power is stronger than mine.
Madam, what do you intend to do?
I've come for the Princess Margot. You promised to marry the yellow dwarf. I've come for her.
A promise made in terror, madam. You can't hold it to it.
Is that so, Prime Minister? I'll show you. Come in, my pet. Come in.
Oh, what is that coming into the room? Dragons, two of them.
They do not wait to see what's in the box they carry, my friend.
Oh, my good saint, help us.
Come, Anton. Hand over the princess. My dragons grow impatient. Come.
Never. I'll fight the whole world to keep my bride-to-be. Take your dragons and whatever they bring and leave.
The dragons are breathing fire. They'll burn us all up. Look.
The box is open.
How do you do, Queen Beatrice?
What a hideous creature. It's the yellow dwarf. He'll kill us all. We're lost.
Anton, my love, don't let him take me away from you.
You'd steal my bride, did you?
Your sword, you beast, or I'll run you through. Fight if you have the courage.
Oh, you dare to fight the yellow dwarf? Splendid, come on.
Kill him, yellow dwarf. I'll take care of the girls for you.
Look out, Anton.
He enchanted my sword has no effect.
Of course it hasn't. You can't fight magic with a sword, Anton.
Anton, come to me.
Too late. I have you now. Say goodbye to your bride, Anton.
She's mine. You shan't have her.
Thought you'd get the best of the fairy folks, did you? We'll show you.
Quick, Lothia. Up on the other dragon and away we go with my bride to be.
Let go of her. Let go of her.
The dragons are throwing fire.
Don't come a step nearer. All right, dwarf, we're ready. Farewell, my friend. Don't look for Margot. You'll never see her again.
I'll find her if I move heaven and earth. I'll live to claim my love.
I love you. But I must find her. I must. Oh, waves in the sea. Do you know? Can you help me find my darling? My precious bride-to-be.
Anton. Poor, unhappy Prince Anton.
Who are you, lovely creature?
A mermaid. Who lost her true love as you have done. And I chose to live in the deep blue sea as a mermaid.
rather than wander the earth without him.
You heard me then. And you know how empty my world is.
Yes, I hear you. But be comforted.
You mean you can help me?
Yes. I've learned many secrets since I've lived in the sea. Here is a magic sword. It will kill the dwarf. It's the only thing that can destroy him.
Bless you, little mermaid. And thank you for the sword. Now I can claim my darling.
But listen well to me, Prince. Don't drop it. Don't let it out of your hand, or all the magic in the earth, sea, and sky can't save you. Remember.
I will remember. Now tell me, where is my love?
Straight as the crow flies to the north, past Wind Cavern, up the mountain, slay the dragons you will meet there with your magic sword. Open the iron slab and ascend the steps. There you will find your bride.
I go. Eternal gratitude to you, little mermaid.
Don't drop the sword. Don't drop the sword.
Come on, dragon. This is your last fight. I do not fear you. That and that. And there goes your head, you grinning beast. Now to find my love. The iron slab. It opens. Margo. Margo, it is I am. Where are you? Margo.
Oh, I knew it. I knew you'd find me.
Oh, my precious. Oh. My only love.
Oh, my prince.
Now what do you do, my pretties?
My sword. I've lost it.
And with it, your life, my prince. You're in my power now. Say your prayers.
Manson, what can we do?
Kill me, if you will, beast. But let her go.
To be with him forever? I'd rather die. Kill me now.
Very well, princess. You have pronounced your own doom.
Take me in your arms, Anton. I am not afraid.
True love like ours can never die. We will meet again. I love you, Margo.
And I love you, my prince.
Then do what you will, Yellow Dwarf. We are ready.
So be it. No one lives who tries to fight the Yellow Dwarf.
Oh, gentle queen of enchantment. Guardian of things beautiful and sacred, come to me.
I come, little mermaid. What do you want of me?
Grant a lonely mermaid her dearest wish. Take these two dear people, Anton and Margo. Guard them and let them live again. Can you do this for me, O queen?
Unselfish little mermaid, it shall be as you wish. I shall transform them into two tall trees that will tower above the world, spreading a cool and refreshing shade for other loves to know and enjoy. And then, with their branches locked in embrace, they shall stand together, side by side. It is done.
And will their spell ever be broken, Queen of Enchantment?
In a little while, daughter. When the Yellow Dwarf is gone and they are safe, I will reward true and sacred love with life and happiness.
Do they know, my queen? Even now, as trees, can they understand that all will be well?
Yes, daughter. While their bodies are changed into trees for the time being, their souls live and speak to each other. Listen.
Forever and forever, I shall love you, Margot.
Until eternity, my Anton, I am yours.
And very soon, they shall live happily ever after.
And now, before we introduce today's cast and tell you about next week's exciting story, I want to ask why so many boys and girls, yes, and grown ups too, eat cream of wheat for breakfast all summer long. Right, yes, one hot dish with every meal is a mighty good summertime rule. It helps you get more fun out of eating, helps keep your appetite up to par, helps give you something to work on. So be sure to start with cream of wheat tomorrow, either enriched 5 minutes or regular. Yes.
For all the family's breakfast, you can eat cream of wheat.
The pretenders for today were...
Gwen Davies.
The Queen Mother.
Sybil Trent.
Princess Margot.
Churchill Rose.
The Prime Minister.
Jack Brown.
Prince Anton.
Donald Buca.
The Evil Fairy, Lothia.
Miriam Wolfe.
The Little Mermaid.
Betty Jane Tyler.
The Yellow Dwarf.
Bobby Reddick.
Queen of Enchantment.
Florence Hallop.
Music conducted by Maurice Brown. The story of The Yellow Dwarf was dramatized and directed by Nyla Mack. If you live in or near New York and you'd like to see a broadcast of Let's Pretend, drop a postcard to Cream of Wheat, CBS, New York, for your free ticket. Each week, listen to The Billy Burke Show in the theater of today. And next Saturday, be sure to join us when Cream of Wheat will take you on another trip to the land of Let's Pretend to hear how an enchanted horse saved the life of a beautiful princess and brought dreadful punishment to a wicked woman. It's the story of the Goose Girl. This is Bill Adams saying, remember to eat cream of wheat, the great American family cereal. This is CBS, Columbia Broadcasting System.
Let's Pretend, on Tuned to Yesterday from CBS Radio, heard on July 27th, 1946. And that brings the curtain down on this hour of adventure on Tuned to Yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great shows from radio's past. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark LeBonnier. Thanks for tuning in.